Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Stephen Luce Jr., author of the highly praised self-help book Pills, Skills, and Will, lives and works in Silicon Valley, California. Stephen says he's been most fortunate to have been treated for mental illness by psychopharmacologist Dr. Reed Kaplan and psychologist J. Mark Pratt for most of the past 25 years. Also, he benefited greatly from LaSelva, a residential mental health treatment program in which he lived for 6 months. He's thankful to his mom for working so hard to pay for this top-notch treatment until his full-time employment was able to take the load off her shoulders sometime in 2012. Stephen has a law degree from Pepperdine University, but realized he was never going to be able to become a lawyer. He went to De Anza Community College for an AA paralegal degree, an unusual career path, but it enabled Stephen to first get his foot in the door in the legal industry as a paralegal, and ultimately as a knowledge manager at a legal recruiting headhunting firm where he's worked full-time since 2006. His biography, Pills, Skills, and Will, is one of hope, showing that people can recover from disabling mental illness. And Stephen Luce Jr. joins us on This Week in America. Stephen, welcome to the program. A very important conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
It is.
It's an honor to, my joke is that it's an honor to be, or have been, I think, sufficiently mentally ill to be qualified to speak with you on the topic of mental illness and mental health.
Well, in the past tense, because you've really done a remarkable job with your life and such an inspiration to so many. And so often we hear people in the abstract speaking of it. You've gone through it. You've fought a battle for a number of years and come out so well. It's going to be interesting to talk to you in the program today. Let's start with the inspiration to write this book. This was an awesome undertaking and had to relive some unpleasantness that you went through. What inspired you to write Pills, Skills, and Will?
Well, the main inspiration was to share the concepts and suggestions that over a period of approximately 2.5 decades and still have been and are being taught to me by these really experienced and effective mental health practitioners have been bestowing to me. And a book at an inexpensive price can really be a great resource to do that. I've had to over I saw the psychopharmacologist once every week for approximately 15 years, and the psychologist I think saw him once every week for a long time too. Fortunately, that's been very much decreased in time to now I only have to see once a month each of them. But, you know, having a book that can be read in probably 5 hours, you can do everything that took me 25 years in 5 hours or approximately. It's a wonderful way to share in very efficiently what otherwise takes almost a third of a life to learn.
You know, and it's interesting, and you go into the cost of this as well, and we'll touch on that, what your mother went through and getting you the best possible attention to get you where you are today. So literally save thousands or tens of thousands of dollars by getting a copy of Stephen's book, and it's Stephen Luce, L-U-C-E Jr. The book is Pills, Skills, and Will. I'll give you the website, all that information as we go through the program. Who was this book intended for? Who was the target audience as you were putting this together?
Well, I like to call us copers and supporters, which is a term from a group therapy session that I've been going to for a long, long time, although we're meeting remotely right now. It's intended for people who have my diagnosis and related diagnosis. And for their support, we are what might be termed the copers, and for their loved ones, the supporters, so they can understand better what we're going through and how to help. the book could be a great resource to offer and shed light on the symptoms, which is the first thing that the doctors look for so that they can formulate what a diagnosis it might be. And then the book offers a great coverage of what after the diagnosis is made, what the pills, how those can really help, and then the real change that can come in a person's life to help rebuild a life after the debilitating illness through great skills that can be learned in group therapy, individual therapy, bibliotherapy, which is reading books. And so there's great skills that can be learned by doing all of this work. And sometimes you don't know something until you read it, or sometimes you don't know a concept until there's a word for it. For example, there's a symptom called anosognosia, which just means I didn't know I had the illness. But until you know what the word is, you might never have known that there was that concept. So the book is intended to for anybody who has these illnesses and their loved ones.
And the book's available at Amazon, the usual places. Very active soon will be Stephen's website, which is pills-skills-will.com. Very simple. It's the title of the book, Pills, Skills, and Will. The book available at, as I mentioned, Amazon, the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Stephen, specifically, what was the mental illness diagnosis that you had?
My diagnosis is schizoaffective disorder, schizoaffective illness, and it's very related to both schizophrenia and bipolar. The part of schizoaffective that starts off with schizo means that there's symptoms akin to schizophrenia, such as the positive symptoms of schizophrenia, which include symptoms added to the person's personality, such as delusions and hallucinations. Schizoaffective also has the word affective in it, which connotes the mood disorder part of the illness, like bipolar, which simply means that the person also has mood disorder illnesses, symptoms such as depression or mania.
Let's talk about the word schizo, what it means in schizoaffective diagnosis. Some people still call schizophrenia a split personality. Explain that a little.
Okay, that's something that's really dear to my heart because a lot of the pages in the book are devoted to discussing how what's called the great school of thought called the dialectical behavioral therapy or DBT, which is one of the wonderful skills that are being taught to me by the practitioners, discusses the dialectic, which is where there's two extremes, such as the yin and the yang, that might, or there's so many different examples where, for example, my child is, is having addiction problems. Should I smother my child with love and prevent him from suffering the consequences of his actions, or should I lovingly detach from my child and let him suffer the consequences of his actions? Those are two different extremes, and it's just an example of what's called the dialectic. Sometimes a patient with these with the illness of schizoaffective disorder, especially and schizophrenia, in my experience, doesn't know how to reconcile these extremes, and actually is threatened to be torn apart by these extremes. The patient is thought of as almost having a split personality because the illness results in such severe discombobulation with ideas and concepts clashing often from one extreme to another, veering back and forth, so that the patient seems almost to be one person to another from one day to the next. There's been times in my in Pills, Skills, and Wills, I don't write a linear biography of myself like so many other autobiographies by people with mental illness. Rather, I discuss mental illness, mental health concepts and treatments, and diagnoses and symptoms, and offer instances from my own personal life to illustrate the concepts being discussed. So on this particular topic, I talk about two different experiences from my life, where I had really huge problems seeing what to do. I was frenetic and skittish, and I quit a job pro I quit a job on the first day. I quit a school program that had taken me a really long time to gain access to. And it was examples of having these concepts in my mind that I couldn't reconcile. Should I stay? Should I go? What should I do? And so the schizo part in the schizoaffective diagnosis connotes this problem where the patient is faced with extreme opposites that appear incompatible, and the mentally ill patient might be torn apart, or hopefully through the help of pills that slow down the pace of the thoughts, that lower the volume of the internal monologue or dialogue in the patient's mind, and through the help of skills, group therapy, individual therapy, talking these things out, reasoning them out, and learning other skills, the patient can find the synthesis between the two extremes, and learn, and then, like Abraham Lincoln said, a house divided cannot stand. In my experience, a split mind, a divided will, and a broken heart cannot set and achieve goals or otherwise thrive. But through all this work that a patient can do, she can find the synthesis between these extremes, between, you might say, these two debilitating opposites that are tearing the person apart. And in the end, the house will not be divided.
Stephen Luce Jr. is our guest on the program. That's Luce, if you're Googling. The book is Pills, Skills, and Will. Book available Amazon, the usual places. He'll have an active website as well, and I'll give you Stephen's website here in a second. What is meant by comorbid substance abuse disorder diagnosis? What is that?
That just goes to the heart of what my the full official diagnosis for me is. Comorbid just means simultaneous. So my actual diagnosis is both schizoaffective and substance abuse disorder. I was addicted to illicit street drugs until getting sober in 1995. So almost 30 years ago, thankfully. The interesting part about that is, how should the treatment begin? For me, what happened best was to treat the to arrest the addiction first, and afterwards to start the mental health treatment. What was interesting about that to me is that my mental health symptoms, the delusions that I was having at the time, I had grandiose delusions, which I won't go into, but they're covered in detail in the book. They became more prominent, actually, that my family didn't notice them until after the illicit street drugs were addiction was arrested, interestingly. And at that point, the mental I was instructed to go see the psychologist, the psychiatrist, I'm sorry, at Pepperdine University, where I was going to law school. But for you, it might be different. So that would be something to discuss with your psychiatrist. And our psychologist is Should we start treating the substance abuse disorder simultaneously while we begin mental health treatment, or should we do one before the other?
The book is Pills, Skills, and Will. Stephen Luce Jr. is the author. Let's talk about the pills aspect of that here for a few minutes. How do pills work, and what are their properties?
There's different types and categories of pills, and this is why the first thing your doctor's going to do is try to ask you what your symptoms are, how long have they lasted, and how are they interfering with your life, which is the same thing as saying, how do you wish your life was different? In that way, the doctor will be able to get a diagnosis going, which is just a category which will help him or her pick a category of medications to try first. It's not a lasting stigma, a mark of disgrace or reproach. It's not a label. It's just a category from which to pick medications first that might work for you. For me, the pills that are prescribed for me are not the ones that have a palpable, noticeable mood-altering effect. Rather, they're called antipsychotics, and they take weeks, even months, to affect your thoughts and feelings. That's opposed to a category of medications called benzodiazepines, like Ativan and Klonopin, that have immediate mood-altering effects that are therefore not prescribed to people who have had addiction problems like I did until 1995.
Stephen Luce Jr., our guest on the program. We just talked about the pills part of the title, Pills, Skills, and Will. What's meant by skills in the title of your book?
Yes, there's many, many, many skills described in the book. In the interest of time, I was actually hoping to talk a little bit more about the skills that have helped me cope with one of the main symptoms that are discussed in the book, called delusions. This is May, which is the Mental Health Awareness Month, which I'm so grateful for, because stigma is really one of the major parts of the problems that we are facing right now. We've had three shootings in the U.S. recently, and that contributes to the stigma, because people don't like uncertainty and the frenetic, the skittish aspect of mental illness, even the danger of mental illness. This contributes to the stigma. The problem is, as recounted in Pills, Skills, and Wills, is that people don't seek treatment for various reasons, one of which is because they don't want to be labeled with and have the stigma attached to them of having a mental illness diagnosis. But the problem is, as recounted in Pills, Skills, and Wills, the treatment works. It can really help you. So the first thing I'd like to say is that stigma is an illusion. You're not a jar of fruit with a label on it.
Yes.
Kind of a joke, but it's an image I hope you can hold on to. Don't worry about being a jar of fruit with a label on it, because you're dynamic and you can change. The book opens the problem of delusions, which I mentioned because of these three shootings. I believe that for a gunman to shoot somebody, he must be deluded, because he must be thinking that it's a good thing or a proper thing for him to do this, and I believe that's a delusion. But the book offers help. I've had delusions. Fortunately, they weren't. Fortunately, they my delusions were grandiose and other times paranoid, but never homicidal. Thankfully, but I also was in the locked psych ward, And there was a lady who she had delusion, and it was scary. But there's help for this, and it's recounted in the book. And also what you can do, for example, that at some point the person might have a logical insight that their delusions don't make sense. And what a wonderful thing that is when that happens. It happened for me. And my delusion was that everything was bad in the world and there was no good. But then I saw the loving mental health practitioners working at the county. I was going to the county for mental health treatment at the time because I was alienated and paranoid for my family. And so I didn't have a lot of money. I went to the county. I thought everything was bad in the world and there was no good. But I saw the mental health practitioners helping out at the county and presumably doing easier jobs elsewhere. But they were devoting all their time and money and love to helping people that really nobody else cared much about. And that was the logical insight that said there must be love in the world because, and that debunked my delusion. And there's other examples of logical epiphanies that debunk delusions. But in the meanwhile, what you can do to help your loved one who is having delusions is you can just sit there and be with her or him. Don't agree or disagree with his delusions, but just hope that he will go to individual therapy and even talk about it in group therapy. And eventually, and it might take years, it might take years, but eventually, hopefully he will get through that delusion. And we have something there's something called 5150. If you feel like your loved one is having a homicidal delusion, you have to do more than just sitting there and being there with him or her, and not agreeing or disagreeing with the delusion. You might have to do a little bit more. And here in Silicon Valley, we have something called the CIT team with the police, the crisis intervention team. And if you ever have to call 911, you may have a CIT team, and they are specially trained police to help the mentally ill people, and they can be much more gentle than a normal police officer would be. There's great hope that stigma exists because people are don't like uncertainty and because people are fearful. But there's hopefully that. Since these treatments work with pills and skills, hopefully people can get to treatment as they learn to trust the system.
Yes.
And the hope is that then they can get to the last part of the book, which is called will. St. Thomas Aquinas is quoted as saying that to will the good for to will the good for another is a definition of love. And that's the whole point of the book of Pills, Skills, and Wills, is to get to the point in your life, to get to the point in your life where you recover to such a great degree that you can start being a force of love in the world. If we had more time, I'd read you a great quote. The quote is just, you learn to move away from delusions. You move away from delusions in your life. And you just start to try to engage with reality and to be a loving person in the world. And what a great thing that is when you can get to that point.
The book is full of hope. The book is very helpful. Stephen just touched on the three elements: pills, skills, and will. You got a couple minutes left here before we're finished. I know you had some quotes from the pills, skills, and wills. Well, I don't know if you touched on that. If there's another one that you'd like to leave us with, because it's very important. This is what Stephen has gone through. Very successful career today. What would you like to say to the listener, to the viewer, as we wrap up our conversation?
Well, yeah, I mean, so central to me has been to get move away from delusions, to moving away from blaming others, and like a cockroach running away from the light that's being shed on truth, and instead living in fantasy and delusions. The quote that I love so much in this book on page 173 gets to the heart of the matter for me, and what I hope for other mentally ill patients who are, not living life on life's terms, not adapting to life as they need to. Here's how the quote goes. "The unglamorous job of making it through the month takes more courage and organizational skills than living in a grandiose dream. This is the genius of living. We're allowed to dream, but we need to be rooted in action plans to make those dreams real. When we begin to have insight into our condition and trade our grandiosity for action planning and doable goals, we're starting to get a grip on our illness. Keep your goals simple and few. Keep a dynamic and ever-changing list of where you're at now, where you want to go, and the concrete steps it will take to get there. Congratulate yourself for any job well done." And that's a quote from Vicky Young in the magazine Schizophrenia Digest. And that's from the summer of 2006.
That's a perfect way to end our conversation. There is so much more. We could have gone on for hours in talking about Stephen and what he's been through and where he is today. And you'll find that story in his book, Pills, Skills, and Will, the book by Stephen Luce, that's L-U-C-E Jr. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. Very soon, if not up already, will be his website, pills-skills-will.com. Name of the book, very simple to remember it that way. Stephen, a pleasure having you on the program. So much more we could talk about. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do that again. Thank you for sharing with us a very important topic, a very important conversation on today's program. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the opportunity.
It has been our pleasure. The book again, Pills, Skills, and Will by Stephen Luce Jr. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.